My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis. He is also the author of the forthcoming book, Never Submit, Will the Extermination of Christians Get Worse Before It Gets Better? The book is due out in late August. We've asked him to comment on the murder of 4 U.S. Marines in Tennessee on Thursday by a man from Kuwait named Mohammed Yousef Abdulaziz. And Colonel, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Greg.
President Obama on Thursday commented on this, and at the time, a lot of the details hadn't been known, but I believe the gunman's name was known at that point, and his rhetoric was very generic. He referred to this as a heartbreaking circumstance as opposed to a terrorist attack or anything like that, and said it was important not to jump to conclusions. And obviously, the investigation in this case is early on, but a lot of his critics say there's a pattern here where this president just simply refuses to define the threat. What do you make of that, and how important is it?
Well, when it's politically expedient, he jumps to conclusions in other cases, but when it comes to Islamic terrorism, he will drag his feet and won't even declare that we have a problem with Islamic terrorists. But in all the indications at this point suggest that this young man down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, who had traveled to Yemen, who had traveled to Jordan, who posted on blog sites some pretty radical thoughts, whose parents appear to have been Palestinians, who were ejected out of Kuwait back in the 90s when they immigrated to this country. All of those certainly suggest that it's quite possible and probably likely that he was motivated by his faith, Islam, and he was motivated by his belief in jihad, and that he took out that hostility that is pent up in many of these people against the targets of the U.S. government. And, of course, the most visible in many communities are the recruiters who wear military uniforms.
We're talking with retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, and Colonel, will obviously be honored to have you back when your book comes out, and we can talk about some of these issues in more detail. But one of the things I know that you focus on in the book is your concern of the Islamization of America. What do you mean by that, and how do we see that in our country today?
Well, there was a recent survey that actually was done last month that asked Muslims in the country about their belief on Sharia law and jihad and so forth. What they found in this nationwide survey, which has about a 3% error rate, is that 16% believe that jihad justifies violent holy war here in the United States, that 41% believe that jihad is an obligation that they have from Islam, that violent jihad is in the United States by 54% is something that's justified. You know, what you have, essentially, is a sizable part of a Muslim population that believes in violent jihad and the imposition of Sharia Islamic law. Given that, from their own mouth, and given the unfettered immigration of Muslims from the Middle East, at the exclusion, unfortunately, of mostly Christians, that there is a terrible combination when you put that together with political correctness coming from the top of this administration, you know, refusing to acknowledge that we have a problem with Islamic terrorism, we have a problem with Islamists, and that if we continue in this direction, then we're going to have Sharia law popping up in this country, much like it is over Europe. We're going to have the replacement of our Constitution in some small communities, and it will grow by Sharia law, because that's what a sizable part of the Muslim community believes. They, in many cases, will not inculcate the values of this country. And, of course, we've been the great melting pot for many, many years, but this particular segment of the population doesn't want to be part. They want to take over our country and make it into something that is paramount to what you're seeing today in the Middle East. And I think Americans need to wake up to that reality, and yet from the top down at this point, they're not.
We certainly mentioned the top of the administration, but your book, I believe, also goes into the larger question of Americans either being oblivious to the fact that this threat is happening, or they're just not bothered by it enough to do much about it right now. What do you think is going on that front?
Well, I think it's total ignorance. It's afraid of the political correctness that permeates the top all the way down to our local community. This is especially threatening to Christians, because just like we saw Christian genocide taking place in the Middle East, they have no tolerance for anyone that will not believe in their God, in their way of life, in their laws. And as a result, when they take over, and in the book I chronicle a number of people that have come out of the Islamic faith and say, look, they are deadly serious about what they're saying. And unfortunately, in the West, we tend to forgive that as being naive. Well, they're not naive. They know exactly what they want, and they're going to get it at our expense. And if we don't wake up as a nation, certainly as a Christian nation, by a population of about 75%, then we're going to pay a very heavy price, and that price could be our own freedom.
Last question here, Colonel. In terms of addressing the threat, we mentioned your concerns about how the president does that. When he does talk about ISIS or other obvious radicals, he'll usually say that they are not actually Islamic. They're perverting what mainstream Islam is. And so he might make the same argument, or others, that what you've just described is more of a radicalization of it than what it actually is. And so to paint all of Islam with that brush is incorrect. How would you respond to that?
Well, they obviously don't know Islam. They need to study the Quran, the Hadith, the Sunnah. And when you do, you find out that what ISIS is doing is exactly in compliance with what the Prophet Muhammad taught, what the Quran says. ISIS is more Islamic than the vast majority of the people that call themselves Muslims in today's world. And that's part of the problem, because not that many Muslims, but enough that are dangerous, do understand what their faith teaches. And they do follow what their faith teaches. And those that are truly adherents to that faith are tending to be rather violent and oppressive, forcing their will upon those around them that don't embrace their radical view of the world.
One very quick exit question on policy. Colonel, this is different than the conversation we just had. One of the debates that's happening immediately again after this Chattanooga situation is whether or not personnel in the military ought to be able to carry firearms, whether on base or at a recruiting station or any of these other facilities. The top man in the Army today, General Ordierno, says it's unlikely that policy will change. What's your take on that, and how big of a difference do you think it could make?
Now, I have a lot of respect for General Ordierno. However, when we're in a war zone, we carry weapons, every one of us, and we sleep with those weapons and whatever. Policemen in the United States today are armed for the most part. If, in fact, we decide that we are at a war, even here in the United States, and the primary targets are wearing uniforms of our country and uniforms of our police force, then it would be prudent to increase the numbers of weapons that are readily available on our military installations, at our recruiting stations as well. So I would tend to kind of split the baby here and say far more need to be armed than are armed in this country today.
Colonel, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, his forthcoming book is Never Submit, Will the Extermination of Christians Get Worse Before It Gets Better? I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.